How important is military service, exemplary or otherwise, to good leadership? And most specifically, how important is experience in the military to being president of the United States? There's been a significant number of veterans among the 43 presidents, beginning with George Washington, who designed his own uniforms. But Thomas Jefferson never served in the military, nor did Woodrow Wilson, who led the nation through World War I, or Franklin Roosevelt, who was acclaimed as a military leader during World War II, although Mr. Roosevelt had been Assistant Secretary of the Navy. James McGregor Burns is a presidential historian, author, and scholar of leadership at Williams College. He joins us from Williamstown, Massachusetts. Professor, thanks very much for being with us again.
Happy to be with you.
And is military experience more important for the campaign than the presidency?
Well, I think basically being in the Army, a huge organization, is very good training for people who are going to go into big organizations, whether political or other, because in the Army, at least in my own experience, you get a great sense of structure. You have to fit in with a lot of people, and you have to take initiative if you can, but it may be very difficult because you have so many people working with you. And you also develop some sense of duty.
It's instructive for me to see a list, as I did just before we came into the studio here to interview you, about presidents during wartime. And you take a look at the history of this country, most presidents of the United States have served during what we identify as a war. Even I guess ones that a lot of Americans have just forgotten about. Jefferson was president during what was called the Tripolitan War against the Barbary Pirates. Warren Harding was in office, we sometimes forget, when World War I was formally concluded. John Tyler was president during the Second Seminole War. What kind of correlation is there between leadership skills that someone might absorb in the military and their capacity to be a wartime president?
By and large, I would not say there's a great correlation. Grant was a great military commander. He was not such a great president. Theodore Roosevelt mm-hmm. had something of a military background, which he made much of, and I think he was a great president. So I think it works either way. I think the important thing is for people not to feel that because a president has not been in the military, mm-hmm. that the president might not be an effective leader.
Professor Burns, are you surprised or not at all surprised over the way in which the war in Vietnam and particularly the service records of the two candidates for president now have become an issue of one kind or another in this campaign?
I'm not wholly surprised, although I'm exceedingly sad, because in this election particularly, we're having a vituperation beyond anything I can remember in presidential elections. We've had people attacked Kerry's record. It's proved over and over again that he fought well, he was brave, and he took bullets and all the rest that we've been hearing so much about. And to my mind, to see that denigrated. Now, I have to say, probably there was a little exaggeration. I know I happened to get the Bronze Star Medal. And I'd have to say, if anybody really pressed me, was I worthy of it? Well, I really think I was, but a lot of other people were worthy of it, too. So I'm a little skeptical about decorations. But when a man has won that many decorations and has been hurt, then I feel hurt as a veteran that he gets this kind of treatment.
There have been questions raised about the veracity of President Bush's representation of his service in the Texas Air National Guard and I guess, subsequent transfer to the Alabama Guard. And the value and length of that service, past a certain point, assuming he wasn't secretly in the North Vietnamese Army or something. Does any of this matter?
No, not at this point. I think it's established that Kerry has had a wonderful record. I think it's established that Bush, like so many others, went through the motions and did not do all that he should do. But having said that, let's leave it there and get on to the really big issues like war and peace.
You've written extensively for so many years about qualities that you consider necessary and contributory to making a great leader. What qualities should, in your judgment, Americans look for as they make this decision in November?
I'm a great believer in moral leadership, and that sounds kind of simple and and virtuous, but I really mean it. I think by moral leader, a candidate or a leader who really stands for the fundamental values. And again, that sounds rather obvious or banal even. But we do have sets of values in this country over which we compete. And they're beautifully summed up in the Declaration of Independence, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And the more leaders could fight over those issues, what do we mean by the pursuit of happiness? I think we mean equality. Others will differ. What do we mean by liberty? Liberty through government, liberty against government. What do we mean by life? I think we mean by that national security. The more that candidates could stick to these fundamental moral values, the more I think they could make a contribution to American life.
James McGregor Burns is the Woodrow Wilson Professor of Government Emeritus at Williams College. Thank you very much.
Thank you.